Hey, here we go. What's poppin', part two, people? Talking to John Smintek coming up. Sminty's been semi-regular on the podcast. Always great for media conversation. And there's some media conversation that needs to take place tonight about a really strange story. We'll get into that in a second. First, though, Mateen Cleaves, that trial was going on today. And
yeah, it's not the trial yet, the
preliminary. But witnesses actually spoke.
Yeah, pretty moving testimony in a way.
It sounded pretty powerful. I don't know. I've always thought that usually, you know, you get a feel from the early circumstances or what you hear, and I tended to believe the victim in this case.
Oh, I do.
The fact that she was dragged back into the room three times.
The fact that it's on video, which they showed
yes.
to the court today. Obviously, the media couldn't see it, but they showed it to the, to the judge or whatever. That's pretty big. You have it on video. But I didn't know the witness that called 911. This is the new stuff today, that she actually consoled the girl immediately after. Because a lot of the talk was, well, why did she leave? Why didn't she report it? Remember that whole thing?
Yeah. Well, which is so common.
Oh, it's incredibly common with a sexual assault?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. But this lady that called 911, she kind of, consoled her and said, the first thing she said was, we had sex. So there was some kind of penetration. But she was also wearing Mateen's jersey. Which I immediately thought, which jersey?
Well, that's why this thing sounds like it's going to be extremely, you're going to wade through a lot of stuff to get to the bottom of it.
She testified, the woman was on her knees outside her motel room at one point and said, help me, help me, help me. She looked scared. She's 24. You were talking about, the prosecution was getting yelled at.
Yeah, the judge was getting on the prosecution, and I didn't really and quite understand what that was about.
Well, you've seen Lisa Lindsay before.
Yes.
She's pretty tough. So I guess she didn't like what the defense attorney was saying. The court heard a 911 call that she made just after 2 a.m., requested police and told the dispatcher that a naked woman came out of her room, was overpowered by Mateen Cleaves, who grabbed her and pulled her back into the room. Less than 10 minutes later, she called 911 again, said Cleaves was leaving the motel, and the dispatcher told the woman said that the woman was crying in her room. The woman, whose knees were scraped with blood, was intoxicated and said she had to vomit. When police arrived, the officer asked the woman whether or not she wanted to press charges. She said, no, I just want to go home. Which is, like we said, it's pretty common.
Of course, they'll always use that against her.
Yes, because a traumatic incident the defense is will. Something that you
oh, I know they will.
Arch right down.
Yeah, why wouldn't you tell the cops are right there? Why wouldn't you tell them?
Because you just want to go home at that point.
Yeah.
So
there's video, though, of him dragging her back in the room three times.
Sounds pretty damning.
And,
he was nude, too, right, in the video, allegedly? Wasn't he nude?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, I think they were both nude for some reason.
Oh, she was nude. And he claims that's why he dragged her back, because she was nude and he was trying to save her the embarrassment.
I thought I had read that he was nude, too. I don't know what that would mean.
It could mean that he's trying to assault her. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's in the middle of assaulting her and she's trying to get away. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Because if you're having consensual sex, you don't generally run out of the room nude.
No. No.
I want to get some air right now.
I got to get away from that thing. Three times.
It's overpowering me.
Of course not. So.
Yeah, that story.
I would not want to be Mateen Cleaves. Well, but then again, I wouldn't want to have been her. So.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's such a disappointing story because I have always liked this guy. I always thought he was a good guy.
Very nice to us.
Yeah, really nice. And, Tom Izzo adores him. Named his kid after him.
Yep. Middle name, right?
Yeah. Just really disappointing. I mean, this is a guy who, Michigan State's only national championship. He was the guy. He was the man, the leader. And since that time, he's struggled here and there with, finding his place. He didn't have a great NBA career, but he still was a local guy who cared about Flint and who cared about Michigan State. And, he's been in the broadcasting world, really, mostly the last 5 or 6 years. And I thought he was doing better.
This is really interesting. The witness also said that the woman, the victim, had sex between the first and second time she was allegedly pulled back into the motel room. So that definitely sounds like she was trying to escape, right?
It does.
Try to leave. He pulls you back in, assaults you, try to leave again.
I tell you, if somebody was successfully escaping a room, I'm trying to put my mind in this, the mind of the sexual assaulter.
Yeah.
If she had escaped from the room once, I think I would be inclined to just forget about it because, I don't know.
She obviously doesn't want to have sex.
Well, more than, but of course, you wouldn't be assaulting her if she did want to have sex. I know. That's why it's hard.
Well, if
she's also
sex,
nude, though.
They had sex between the first and two. I mean, yeah, but how'd she get nude? And she was drunk. He could have ripped the clothes off.
I have a feeling her being drunk is going to be a big problem for the prosecution. It always is. It still doesn't mean that you can sexually assault someone.
Because of memory issues?
Well, sometimes that's a problem, sure.
Except it's on video, and now you have a witness who seems to have been totally clear in her memory because she made 911 calls and said, the woman's in my room.
And spoke to the victim afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. So her memory almost is a moot point.
This isn't the only big story today, though. There's another big story, and I want to run it by Sminty, and I doubt he knows about it.
Yeah, I didn't know about it. Trudy's the one that...
But I'm just trying to figure out...
It's your fault, Trudy.
Sorry.
It's about... No, Trudy had breaking news today.
It was very breaking.
Trudy's got her eyes and ears, her antenna were out, and she reeled one in.
Ah, boy.
Yeah, it's a grim kind of story. It's one of these... I always hate these two because when somebody in our business screws up and says something really dumb.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, you know the feeling. Not like this, but you know.
Yeah, and sure, I know the feeling. You know, we're talking about the fuck me thing that got on the air. 101.5 in Phoenix.
Yeah.
With Zip and Skip.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I know that.
This one is a little feeling. Different, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, just when the focus is on you for a mistake, you can feel pretty shitty.
If Skip had screwed up the bit and yelled, you know, N-word, that would be the equivalent of this story, perhaps.
Depends how it was delivered.
Yeah, I guess.
That seems to be the real issue.
That word's just a problem in general.
Well, yeah, but especially if you use it in the alleged context that it was used.
I put the H on it to emphasize it's yeah.
My man!
Get away from the door! Nigga.
Oh, that dick. Hey, didn't we interview him?
He's a teacher. Did we talk to him?
I'm pretty sure we interviewed him. For some reason, I thought we did. I don't know why.
Paul Dawson.
Yeah.
Hey,
Louisville teacher.
Chappelle on Saturday Night Live?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, he's great.
He used that word like crazy.
It broke a lot of... I've never seen anybody
pussy?
Smoke. I never saw anybody smoke. Saturday.
Trump's America.
That was pretty wild.
That was,
Trump's America.
Things are different now.
He smoked twice. He smoked in the opening monologue. He smoked in the closing.
Oh, and in that horrible bit about analysis of the bit.
Oh, yeah.
That horrible bit.
That fell flat. That was flat.
But the breastfeeding was pretty hilarious.
Oh, the breastfeeding. Oh, my God.
I thought watching the election returns was pretty funny. I think he was good. Smoking in that sketch, too.
Was he smoking in that one?
I'm pretty sure he was sitting on the couch smoking in that sketch, yeah.
The breastfeeding one, too.
Awesome.
Where he has it all over his face.
That was the best
part. And Keenan and whoever else was on the couch, and no one could keep a straight face. They were just struggling so hard. they kept touching their noses.
That was like their highest rated SNL in I don't know how long they pointed it
his
out.
His monologue was so killer.
Yep. It was the so best. Good.
The opening
God, it
was
great.
So stupid, though.
Oh, my God, yeah.
No one's dead.
I know. Kate McKinnon singing Hallelujah as Hillary Clinton.
In their heads, it sounded good, I think.
But why? They're satire. They're supposed to be satire. Lampoon it.
I know.
You know, do
Leonard Cohen and Hillary will be doing
Leonard. But see, that's what I said to Drew. If the election didn't happen, they wouldn't be honoring Leonard Cohen at the beginning of SNL. They probably wouldn't even honor him on SNL. I'd be shocked if they did. It's because he wrote this great song. And for some reason, they wanted to use it, tied it into the election.
Yeah, I know. And the fact that she can play piano, I think there was a
That's huge. Yeah, she just wanted to show
peacocking
off.
Peacocking.
And she can sing. Peacocking. Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
You want to dial up Sminty?
I don't know. That open just bothered me. It's like, why
not
do
Sminty music?
Why not do a bit of like
for John?
4 years into Trump's America? Or him freaking out? Or I don't know. There's a lot of ways.
Hello,
John.
My God.
Whoa.
One ring.
You were waiting by the phone.
Yeah, it was half a phone ring, and John was right there. How you doing, John?
I've been ready. I'm always ready.
I love it. Hey, there's an interesting story that's kind of sort of breaking right now. Are you following Twitter much and things like that, social media?
Sometimes, but not today.
Okay. Okay, good. We'll fill you in.
Okay.
Well, we think we know who this person allegedly is. Sam Riddle is...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know?
No. I just know Sam Riddle.
Riddler.
You know, it's something.
That's a likely response.
Sam Riddle is insisting that Channel 4 needs to let a reporter go. Well, it's a reporter, and he or she does more than report. Let this person go because they used a racial slur in a conversation with a coworker. Was it a coworker?
Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly, yeah, with a coworker. And it was something to the effect of, are we solid on the quote even?
Trudy? Trudy's the one that broke
it. Okay, the quote was allegedly, I'm tired of covering all these N-words, killing each other.
In the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
well, I don't know who that might be. I do know that it wouldn't surprise me if Marla Drutz, who runs Channel 4, she's, I think, locked horns with Sam Riddle before, and I think, unless he's got something on tape or something that's,
that doesn't seem to be the situation, that it's overheard, that it's hearsay.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he posted.
Legally, right?
Sam tweeted out a letter that Marla wrote to the reverend. There's another reverend involved.
Oh, okay.
And she writes, situation did occur more than 6 months ago when an unacceptable off-the-cuff comment was made by a reporter in front of a coworker, but was not quoted on social media. Once it came to the attention of management, I can assure you it was investigated swiftly and thoroughly, and the appropriate action was taken. The situation was an important moment of reflection, education, and change.
Hey, that sounds like Marla just handled that pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, there's other paragraphs too, but that's specifically to that. And then she goes on about diversity and, you know, their correspondence. So I was just
this was six months
six
ago.
Months ago, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm really uncomfortable with the fact that Sam Riddle can be demanding all these things. I mean, isn't this guy an ex-con? Doesn't he have checkered
among other things? Yeah, yeah. And he's you know, the word was gadfly back in the day. We would call those people.
Who are
out there and they've got their own agenda, and he's you know, been doing this for at least 20 years now. I can tell you a story about him back when I was working that he represented WADL Television Channel 38, and we had dropped them from the TV listings to the Free Press because their ratings were non-existent.
Oh.
It made more sense to put in the paper, you know, all the cable stations that were getting measurable viewership, and WADL wasn't. Well, he raised a ruckus, threatened to boycott the Free Press, and we ended up putting Channel 38 back in to avoid a ruckus. But
squeaky wheel.
Instead of, if you remember what our TV listings looked like, they used to be four lines deep for each show, and we put them back in with one line each, because most of the shows at the time were religious shows. The various ministers who were buying ad time on the station, and enough. And just during prime time, because their other ratings were really minuscule. But that's what Sam does.
So what is his official job, though? He's a consultant, or is that
nebulous? Well, he was, yeah. He did some time in jail, and I can't remember right now off the top of my head what the...
For bribery. It was for taking bribes, wasn't it?
Monica.
Was that with Monica Conyers?
Monica Conyers.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's right. Okay, it comes, yeah. And I think once he got out of jail, he's again trying to do the same thing. He's basically an agitator and trying to be a voice of the in the civil rights community. So.
We noticed that Fox 2 carried the story in the top of the 6 o'clock news, but
oh really?
Channel 4 did not carry the story.
Well, I think they sounds to me like they tried to handle it internally. And if somebody did make a remark like that, a reporter, especially in this city, you have to be careful what you say and who might be listening. So
yeah, I'm trying to remember. There was a story. There was a weather female at Channel 4. She was like the second string weather person, and she made a comment about maybe some animals at the zoo. And she lost her job. She was from Arkansas, I think, and she was blown out over some inappropriate remark during the weather, I think, or during the handoff. Do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. I don't think she was here very long enough. It's funny. No. I've been looking through all this stuff from 1991, and it's amazing some of the stories that popped up. Did you know that, for example, Ernie Harwell was talking to the New York Yankees about doing their games on the week you were hired back in 1991?
Oh, wow. No, I don't remember that at all.
I'll read you this. It says, a former Tigers radio announcer, Ernie Harwell, confirmed Monday that he had been contacted by the New York Yankees about a job. He says, it's just one of the options I have. That's the stage of it. The Yankees, some guy named Joe Angel was doing the radio position on the Yankees and left. And Ernie says, I'm sort of 50-50 about it. I'm still willing to work if it's a good enough offer, but I could handle retirement. Either way is fine. And then he talked about how he started out in Brooklyn in 48 and would be sort of completing the cycle if I could return there.
Wow.
I'm recalling that story.
Yeah, I
do. And the other big another thing that happened this week was Dick the Bruiser, not George Bear, but the real Dick the Bruiser actually died.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I found that kind of annoying because it brought a lot of attention to Jim and George,
yep,
which we didn't need. We didn't need them getting any more attention.
That's right. The other thing, I did a little research and found out who was on television news back in this week in 1991. And you'd be surprised how little has changed, all things considered. Channel 2, the two anchors were Rich Fisher and Joe Glover.
Hmm. Okay.
At Channel 4, this is the 11 o'clock news. They didn't list a weather person in the listings for some reason, or a sports person, so I'm not sure who was handling it back then. But Channel 4 had Mort Krim, Carmen Harlan, Chuck Yedek, and Bernie Smilowitz.
Hmm. Wow, only one change? Well, now a second change.
Right, yeah, and Chuck is still at the station, but doesn't do weather anymore. But yeah,
that's right.
And then at 11 o'clock on Channel 7, it was, of course, the immortal Bill Bonds, Diana Lewis, Jerry Hodak, and Don Shane. From the 5 to 6 o'clock newscasts on Channel 4, it was Krim, Harlan, Gatica, and Smilowitz again. Hmm. Channel 7 at 5 hit on Bonds, Robbie Timmons, Rob Kress doing the weather. And then at 6, it was Doris Biscoe, Guy Gordon, Jerry Hodak, and Don Shane.
Well,
did Rob Kress recover from his
line?
No.
No.
He took as I recall, he took permanent disability for Lyme disease.
Jesus.
Christ. Wow.
God, that's unbelievable.
Where, do you have any idea where he is today?
I think I want to say he's still in the area, I think. But he did take a disability payment and basically retired at a very young age. I think he was in his 30s or 40s.
Oh, yeah. He was young, definitely. Yeah. God, that's unbelievable. What a story.
Let's see. What else did I find from those thrilling days of yesteryear?
That's great.
The week you were here, Channel 7, speaking of Marla Drutz, who used to run Channel, program director of Channel 7 before she ran Channel 4, Channel 7 announced that it was not going to buy Phil Donahue and Sally Jesse Raphael for the next season. Why, you ask? Because they were shelling out money for Bill Bonds, for Doris Biscoe, for Robbie Timmons, and Eric Smith, all the new contracts.
And
Oprah was just getting momentum, and it was really hiking up her price, too. So they basically let Phil go to back to Channel 2 from whence he came, and Sally Jesse Raphael went to Channel 4. And this was just at the time when Channel 4 was starting to build up the Maury Povich, Jerry Springer, Sally Raphael.
What a lineup! what a lineup!
The Jones woman, Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones.
Yeah, who had the had that murder.
Yeah.
Amador.
Crazy there.
Yeah, Scott
so that
Amador.
Was just starting. Yep.
You lied to me! Schmitz. You lied! I'll never forget that. Never forget. You see, I wonder if he is out of prison.
No. Didn't we just look him up not that long ago?
I don't think he had. It wasn't life in prison. He got like 20 years, didn't he?
And didn't he ended up snapping because of the love letter, right?
Yeah, because it was implied. suggested well, they, that
had a good
that guy had a crush on him.
Yeah.
They then, surprised him with that.
And then they went out that night, right? Allegedly.
And spooned.
I don't know. We always speculated about that. Did something happen to those two guys and he was upset about it? I don't know.
Yeah. Does Minty care to comment?
No, that was just when his, you know, when I'm sitting here, I haven't looked at old newspapers in a long time. I, you know, try and look ahead as opposed to look backwards. But when I start looking back, I say, holy mackerel, there's all sorts of stuff that went on. I'm, you know, back in the day, I'm looking at back Channel 4 back in 1990. Asa Ahrens was the big consumer reporter. He eventually went off to NBC in New York. Yeah, he was kind of flamboyant there. He was the first of the local consumer guys who started to do it. Chris Hansen was at Channel 4 at the time. Let's see, who else was around? Ann Thompson, who I actually saw. I was watching election coverage last week, and I saw her back.
She does a lot of the environmental reports.
She's from here.
She's really good.
She's proud.
She was at Channel 4 for almost 10 years, which didn't seem like it was that much, but it was.
By the way, Jonathan Schmitz is still in prison.
He is.
He is up for release next July.
Oh.
Yeah.
So did he there you go. Yeah, that'll make a good podcast.
Sure.
Wait, we're going to be podcasting next July?
Who knows?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Did he get 25 years? Is that
it? You guys need to do a radiothon.
Radiothon for the podcast?
Right. Like Jerry's kids, you know? Get Drew's kids.
A podcast-thon?
That sounds exhausting.
Get Joe Glover to come in and host it. And, you know, all those people who used to do the MD Telethon on Channel 2. Huh.
Joe Glover, was he the one that was dating the reporter that was much younger? Did I ask you this? Howes, maybe? Is that her name? Jennifer?
Joe had a very short marriage somewhere in there when he was a channel, like, you know, like 2 months, something like that.
I thought one of the anchors went to Florida with a much younger reporter, and I think he was in his 50s, and she might have been 27 or something. And as I recall, lots of problems ensued with the younger, with the female. And
I'm not 100% sure it was Joe, but he did have, I think he got, I want to say he got married in like 1981 and didn't make it in like the middle of the year and didn't make it out of the year. It was a little short thing there.
What did Joe Glover look like? I may have him confused with somebody.
Slick back hair, kind of angular looking.
What color hair?
Dark, very dark.
Dark?
Hair.
Yeah.
Okay, that might be.
Like shoe polish, you know, dye type thing. It was like,
okay.
Yeah. I think he's teaching journalism in Florida somewhere. So he did go to Florida.
Interesting.
Could be him.
Yeah, that's
Joe Glover.
Did he grow his hair kind of long and back, maybe a ponytail or something?
Not that long, but it was it was Trumpish in sort of its approach.
I mean, he has a man bun now.
His approach. Oh boy, that's great.
Oh, I know who was on Channel 2 back doing sports in those days. That was Mark Wilson.
Mark Wilson. Well, Eli Zarrett was here when I got here. Eli was doing something for Channel 2, wasn't he?
Well, he was also on Channel 4. He was doing a lot of the baseball pregame shows. Remember back in the day, Channel 4 was broadcasting the Tigers.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And you got here just when this was still, you know, the old three-channel arrangement was still there. Channel 2 was a CBS affiliate then.
That's right.
And Channel 50 was the Fox affiliate, and Fox wasn't doing that much. And it was in 1993 that all that changed. And Fox O&O ended up buying Channel 2, and CBS had to look desperately for a local affiliate, and they ended up buying Channel 62, which was owned by a Black Masonic group. And if you remember watching Channel 62 in the early days of CBS, it was a real ragged production.
Oh, it was real. It was terrible.
It was. They had no news. I remember talking with Jay Newman, who was the first general manager here, and they set up shop on the corner of, I want to say, they had a place on East Jefferson, right near where the Stroh building was, not off Gratiot, not the brewery, but the offices were there. And they were talking about they were going to have a full newscast, and, you know, they never really quite got to a full newscast. Amir Makeupson and Glover were doing a 10 o'clock newscast on Channel 50 and 11 o'clock newscast on 62 briefly, and that got washed away, and they don't really have a...
Wasn't
Amir Makeupson.
Wasn't 62 their second choice?
And Razor.
Weren't they trying to get a different channel first?
Yes, they talked to...
38, right?
The owners, well, they tried all sorts of things. They actually talked about getting Channel 7 to convert.
Oh, wow.
And there was a lot of corporate... a lot of corporate
bullshit
talk going on. You know, yeah.
That too.
I know.
I just saw something about it. They were... It got to the point where all the corporate bigwigs at ABC were looking at it, and Scripps Howard had bought Channel 7 because ABC thought that it made more sense to hold on to WJR here back when they had the FCC rules against the cross ownership rules were smaller then for a while. Mm-hmm. So ABC had to make a decision. They decided to sell Channel 7, and much to ABC's corporate chagrin, they kept WJR in it. And Channel 7 would be much more profitable.
What I remember about coming here in November of 91 was that Mike Clark was kind of filling me in on what some of the TV people, you know, where they came from and how popular they were. And I remember him telling me that, this reporter, Catherine Lahan, she's really hot and everybody loves her.
Oh, yeah.
And she was kind of a big deal for a minute there.
That's right.
And was she married to Michael J. Fox on the radio?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I don't think that lasted.
No, I don't think it did.
And I think did she leave the market? She went to Baltimore or somewhere?
Yes, she went east. And needless to say, I don't think she had a long and prosperous career after Detroit. But there were a lot of meteoric people who flashed through here thinking it's the next big thing. And then when they left the market, what happened to them?
You know, I couldn't. It's funny because I remember when Mike told me that, and she was cute, but watching on TV, I couldn't figure out why is she a big deal. I just didn't think she was, in terms of her presentation, she just didn't strike me as somebody who was going big places on television. Other than the fact that she looked good.
You know, but, you know, Detroit, you were talking, I think yesterday, I was on a podcast about what the size of the market back, you know, in that era,
yeah.
I think Detroit was probably the eighth largest market in the country, and so you got here. It was a pretty good paying gig, and ABC was one of the O and O's. So if you did something on Channel 7, you just might end up in New York or Los Angeles. And Channel 4 at that time had just been purchased by what was Post Newsweek. Now it's, I think, Graham Enterprises or something, the company, but. Post Newsweek was a big player in the market at the time, and you know, the same thing. You might end up in Washington if you did well here.
Yeah, Detroit was a huge market. I remember when Detroit was it number five maybe, radio market or TV market?
I think at the apex, yeah, that would have been like in the 70s.
Okay,
but it was. You know, I think I told you a story once before about how Kelly and Turner were, you know, could have been what Regis and Kathy Lee were. It turned out to be. In fact, I just noticed in looking back in 91, Regis and Kathy Lee Gifford were on Channel 2 because Channel 7, the ABC own and always was running Kelly and Company here. And I didn't remember that, but they were on, I said, Regis on Channel 2 with Kathy Lee, that was an ABC show. It was on WABC in New York, Channel 7 there. But it started out in Channel 2. And the other thing that when you were here, there were lots of preemptions going on. Channel 4 did not run Letterman here. Mm-hmm. They postponed it, and I, for a while, was running on Channel 50 when Letterman was still on NBC. There were a lot of preemptions, both on Channel 2, which had a bad relationship with CBS near the end. They were preempting the morning show for years. The CBS morning show, not that it gets high ratings, was never on here. And same thing with Channel 4 was always in hot water with NBC for preempting shows, especially because when they had the Tigers during the summer, they were
they must have preempted a ton.
NBC Prime, and they would try and make a deal to run it on Channel 38 or Channel 20 back in the day.
I can't imagine preempting a primetime lineup for a sports team. That's unthinkable now.
Insane. I think they'd love to now.
Well, yeah, maybe they would.
The ratings they get on Fox Sports Detroit.
John, speaking of preemptions, I'm sorry, Mark.
No, go ahead.
We had such bad luck when I started at Riff. I mean, it seemed like anything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, not that we were responsible for some of it, but we did have a lot of bad luck. And one of the things that happened, we were talking about a story one morning about this guy who parked his car. He was not allowed to park his car at work because it was such a junker. And his boss said, "Don't park that car in our lot." And so we called him, of course, and we're talking to him. He says, "Yeah, it's a piece of crap," and blah blah blah. Anyway, we ended up talking to a few body shops, and they're like, "Well, we'll fix his car up." And somebody else said, "Yo, we'll put neon underneath it," and it ended up becoming this giant project. And the next thing you know, a current affair called us, and they said, "Yeah, we want to do a story on this guy with the beater car." And so we met them at the body shop, and they shot this story, and they ran it. Anyway, when the story ran in A Current Affair, Fox 2, which carried it, I believe it was Fox 2 at the time, preempted it for a local special.
Oh,
that sucks.
Oh, no. I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned.
That sucks.
They were always looking to make money by preempting a show like at 8 o'clock. But remember when Channel 7 used to do that for those... Henry Ford Hospital specials that would all of these. Now I think they're on Channel 4. But it was a way to generate money, and especially when NBC had shows that weren't very highly rated, it made sense to pocket the money and put something local on.
It was a lame preemption. I remember that. Very lame.
John, I wanted to ask you, do you remember like what else was on the dial when Drew started, on the radio dial?
Oh yes. I'm looking at it right now. I just called it up on my computer.
Excellent.
The infamous Bob Talbert column from November 21st, 1991, welcoming Peter Zipfel and Drew Lane to Detroit.
Oh, yeah, that was a real welcome. Didn't he list the graveyard of out-of-town morning shows that had come in? Wasn't it the graveyard? Was that it?
Yes. It started, "What do the following have in common?" And I'm getting... point where I used to remember who these people are, but I don't anymore. Holiday and Rogers. Now, Pat Holiday was on CKLW for a long time. Eddie Rogers, I think, was too. They were on once. Pat and Wags.
WRIF.
WRIF.
Yeah, and Pat did not run all the commercials.
I worked with them in Columbus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Savage and Steve. I can't remember who they were.
Steve.
Is that 99.5? No.
96, maybe 96.3.
Yeah, I was saying 96.3 or 99.5. That might have been 99.5. Did Savage work with Jim Harper at some point?
No, I think he was pretty much on... I'm thinking he was WDRQ guy. Either 93.1 or 96.3, one of those two.
Okay.
Things. Then you had David and Beth, and that's a true stumper. I have no idea who they
David
were.
David and
Beth. Beth Conrad. It was Beth Conrad. That's who that was, and I don't remember who David was. I think they were on, she was on, I think, WDET.
Wow, this is grim.
Kevin O'Neill.
Survivor.
Who's been everywhere. I think he's doing traffic reports on WJR occasionally. Napoleon Calvert, who was predecessor to you guys on Riff.
Yep.
Jim Palucci, who had also bounced around and was pretty much everywhere for a while. Jim Rodeo and Chris Edmonds. Chris has been everywhere, too. Michael J. Fox, who we mentioned earlier. Bobby Mitchell is back in town after all those years.
What's he doing?
He's on WOMC in the morning.
Yeah, with, Stacey and Bobby. They do.
Oh, okay.
They do really well.
Okay.
He
was
pretty
here
successful.
The first time on 96.3 when it was WHYT, I think.
Okay.
Tiger Dan, who I have no idea who Tiger Dan was. One of the great names in radio, Wade Butterball Jr. Briggs, who was on at WCHB, Black Broadcaster. That was the Detroit morning show for a long time for the black audience before
Mason.
Mason?
Steve Harvey.
Oh, Steve Harvey.
The guy from Chicago.
Tom Traynor?
Yeah.
The Fly Jock?
Yes. Paul Christie, who was on all over the place, he was on the old 102.7 KISS FM. It was an oldie station for a while. Al Gardner and Brooks Patterson, these were guys who were on talk radio at WXYT when they were starting to be conservative talk before Denny McClain. Mm-hmm. And John McCullough, who's, I guess, on 1400 AM these days, if anybody ever listens to that. And then there was Dean O'Day, who was Detroit's preeminent country disc jockey in the 70s.
You know, when you mentioned country, it reminded me, Was it Joe Wade Formicola that was on here when I started?
Yes, at W4FM.
And where did that guy go?
Joe, I think, went back to Nashville, and I think he's retired now. I believe he'd be in his 70s now. So,
yeah, boy.
He left after Clear Channel / iHeartRadio ended up owning W4, and they started playing with it, and they moved people in and out, and Joe just decided to leave town and went down to Texas.
Well, he was doing very well at that time.
Yeah. And the other one at that time was Scott Chapin and McBean at WCSX.
Right.
I have one of their baseball caps somewhere. Deep in the
cool. Yeah, they did pretty well for a while.
For a while, yeah.
It didn't last very long. Jim and George were at Wheels, and we knew Calvert was going to take over that morning show in 18 months. But was the Graveyard? Were you done with the Graveyard?
Yeah, that was it for the Graveyard.
Oh, that was the Graveyard. Okay.
And then in that same column, Talbert praised, let's see, Chapin, McBean, Joe Wade Formicola. He talked about Denny McLean, who was just starting, I think, in those days.
He did very well. He was doing great.
Yes, he did. But, you know, when that self-destruct button came up, and he was ready to press it at any time.
no doubt.
Kaboom. And then, of course, there was Dick Purton. In 91, McCarthy was already, there was talk at the time about him already thinking about retirement. Of course, he passed away just 4 years later. John Mason had to emerge as the big Black Morning voice in those days.
Yep.
Johnson and Bear were on LLZ.
LZ.
98.7, for those of you who go back that far. WWJ was Joe Donovan and Don Patrick, and Rob Virgicina started about the same time you did, a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Tom Ryan was on WOMC. Mm-hmm. Purton was still over on WKQI. Which at the time I think he was part owner of the, he owned the station with a consortium and then eventually sold it to, it became iHeartRadio.
Well, wouldn't it be great to own your own radio station so you wouldn't have to fire yourself or?
that was the plan originally, but you know when that whole business changed in 1993 where the large companies started buying up stations, all the mom and pop people got out of the market in a hurry. They sold at big prices and left all the way to the bank. I think Curtin was one of those. Chuck Fritz, who owned WXYT-AM for a song, ended up selling it for a big profit to CBS Radio in that era from like 93 to 95.
So I'm thinking, who the hell is left from that 1991? You name anybody that's still there? Joe Donovan's done.
Roberta. Mm-hmm. John Mason is still around.
Okay.
Bobby. Yeah.
Thank you.
Bobby, that, and I think that's about it. Boy.
JJ's on OMC, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, that's just reading the liner cards now. It's not much else.
Ooh, shot.
Yep. And going on Fox 2 on Let It Rip once in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's due to the largesse of Hill Perkins, no doubt.
Is he a friend of Huell Perkins?
I'm pretty sure Huell lines up those people.
Okay.
I think that's how he gets it.
When did Jim Johnson become such an arch conservative? I didn't know that.
You know, when he was without work after he was let go by CSX, he tried to come off as a conservative host and tried. I think he got a couple of auditions on I want to say it was on 1400 AM. That's it's owned by Salem Broadcasting now, and it's sort of a conservative radio. They pick up all the people you don't see. Hugh Hewitt, and some, if you watch all the political TV shows, there's a lot of people on there who are on that station. And I think he may have been there for a while, and then he got back into WOMC because that was a real opportunity there to do work. They were looking at him as the morning show after Purton left. You recall that, and then there was the falling out, I think, with Len Woodison. That didn't work, so he ended up getting the afternoon shift.
That's right. I was going to ask you, I don't know if you know anything about this at all, but is 9:10 a.m., is it doing anything? I know they've got all these people working there for, I guess they sell their own time and stuff, and it's a lot of names that really don't have any kind of name in radio, but they have names. They're people.
You know, I got to tell you, the ratings, which I was really, when I was reporting, it was I was really fortunate. I tried to really report on the ratings because I thought that was the best way to rate a lot of radio stations. So I was able to get things that you don't see. see anymore. The only ratings you see nowadays, because Nielsen took over Arbitron, are 6+ readings for the whole day. And you can't really print or reproduce that without getting a copyright suit, getting hit with a copyright suit. So you see very little or no coverage of the detailed radio, and in fact, they don't. The stations don't like to talk about it. So the answer to your question is, I don't know. And if you don't, if you don't pay to be part of, I think they still call them the Arbitrons, but
yeah,
Nielsen runs it. Your numbers aren't shown, and from what I've seen, I look at those. They come out once a month now. I've not seen any numbers on 910, probably because they're not subscribers to Arbitron.
Right. Okay. I have one question to ask before we let you go, because we got one more thing we have to do. Tony Paul did a story in Detroit News about the podcast, which is great. And now Tony's not responsible for the headline, is he?
No writer is ever responsible for the headline.
I didn't think so. I just want to clear him of any blame here. And yep. I'm not livid about it or anything. I just thought it was strange. The headline is sports media at 57,
ooh,
Lane goes new school, and it's working. But I just thought it was odd that my age is in the headline.
You know, way back in journalism school, when I was at University of Detroit, when we had a class on interviewing people, and the second question you were supposed to ask them after their name was, what their name was and spelling it correctly, was their age.
Really?
And over the years, that was an interview ender. I used to ask it occasionally.
An interview ender.
Yeah, I would, and I would say the best way to approach it was at the end of an interview. I'd say, "Hey, we need to do a little bio box." So I say, "You know, where were you born? How old are you?" You know, we're quickly trying to run through some things and see if people would just
spit it out.
Because if you started at the beginning of an interview, it's a quick dead end.
A buzzkill, for sure.
Yeah, it's a buzzkill. That's funny, because it was the last thing Tony asked me, was how old I was.
It's the Sminty technique.
He's learning. But I just thought it was, I don't know, I've never seen my age in a headline before. I guess.
It's curious, but I'll tell you, I know at the Free Press that these days the headlining and the makeup of the paper is slowly but surely being farmed out to places like Lexington, Kentucky, or Louisville, Kentucky. Hmm. None of that stuff is done in-house anymore. It's done by people who don't necessarily are familiar with Detroit. The whole business has changed pretty radically with regard to newspaper production. They do it together in a central facility, so somebody there is editing stuff from Detroit and maybe all their, in the case of the Free Press, the other Gannett papers, and, you know, anything can happen.
How can they know anything, then, about what makes up the beating heart of Detroit if they're in Lexington, Kentucky?
You know, you see it now a lot in some of the copy editing that stuff that copy editors locally used to pick out that gets in the paper. The best way to, it's somewhat subtle. People who refer to something on the west side and when it's clearly an east side event or something. Then you see, you know, a fair amount of misspellings these days and stuff because the reporters are constantly twittering and putting stuff on Facebook and then writing the story for the paper or the online version, then writing it for the ink on paper printer. A lot of work, and your fingers are always operating. There's a lot more strain on the average reporter these days than there was back then. And of course, there's really little coverage of the media these days. Television or radio coverage is pretty, pretty ancillary. And I think the reason is that newspapers view them now as real competition with the web page.
Oh, okay, yeah, because there's literally virtually nothing written about radio. And I've heard a number of people say, "God, I never read about radio anymore. I don't know who's number one. I don't know anything."
Yes, yeah. Some of that is, and even the people who used to do the web work aren't doing it anymore. There was one guy who filed something. He was with the an M Live. Was just keeping track of some of the changes and he gave it up because he wasn't making any money out of it, spending a lot of time on it. You know, it's there are guys like in Chicago. Who's the
Robert Fetter?
Fetter, yeah.
Yeah, And yeah. He was getting money from the Tribune to even though he wasn't on staff, and they just cut him because they're having cuts there. So now
Was he doing that on his own?
He has his own website.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
he took one of the buyouts back from the. He worked for the Sun Times, I think. He took a buyout about the same time I retired, about 8 years ago, but kept it going because I admire him greatly. He is totally devoted to chronicling every possible change on every Chicago radio and TV station. He knows where those people are, where they're going, where they've been.
He writes long stories, too, about you know what's going on, and I really enjoy it because I like to see what's going on in that market.
He was an encyclopedia of Chicago media, and... there's nobody really like that around here anymore.
Why don't you do a website?
Yeah, where's your website?
I'm enjoying retirement too much.
Oh, come on.
What?
I'm traveling. In 37 years as a paper.
Your own boss.
Whenever the bat signal went up, did I fail to call you guys?
No, that's true.
No, that's true. And I know when you travel, it's really hard to do things on the internet when you travel. Yeah. The internet's not everywhere.
No. I am very happily enjoying life and far away from the deadlines. I mean, I started at the Free Press when I was 20 years old.
Jeez.
Count up how many deadlines that was over the years, and through some things like the strikes and the other nonsense that went on at the paper over the years, it was a lot of strain. And it was my only adult job. I mean,
it served you well.
It did. But there's not going to be many other people who are going to say they worked at a newspaper for 37 years, or people in the even the careers are shorter in radio. I always admired the radio people because it's usually such a short term. You bounce from city to city. You're fortunate here. You've had a long run here in Detroit, but Lord knows there were lots of other people who passed through.
They're
3 years, and they got to go and take the kids and the wife and find a new place to live, and then stay there in some other city. And the format changes, and
there's a lot of
like Harry Chapin saying it's WOLD.
Yeah, WOLD. There's a lot of wear and tear. A lot of brain cells have been strained over the years. It's tough, because I was going from city to city at the beginning, and it was, you're looking for that one run, and I was really lucky to have it here. I'm glad it happened here. It's Midwest.
Yeah, I mean,
it feels right.
You're in the in the top 10 of really long runs. There's people like Purton and J.P. McCarthy and Jim Harper. We didn't mention Jim, with a number of partners over the years. He went through three or four different sidekicks over the years, including the late Steve Gannon, who was. Interesting character.
Steve Gant. When did he die?
About 3 years ago, and I've tried to find out exactly what the circumstances of his death were, and it was just in one of the radio trades. Just that Steve, longtime radio personality Steve Gannon, best known for his work in Detroit at WNIC, died, and I tried to get a hold of the guy who wrote it, and never answered an email. And
he was in Lexington, Kentucky.
Wow,
that would have been around the time when. Alan Allman passed away.
Oh, yeah, Alan Allman.
Alan Allman, in the same month you started, had started a talk show on WXYT AM at night. He was on 7-Eleven discussing love and personal problems.
Did you say AM radio?
AM radio.
But he played music.
But...
He talked about love, Drew, on that show.
He had just gotten bounced from, he was in and out at NIC there. Alan was, kind of a tempestuous guy when it came to contracts.
Oh, he had quite an ego, didn't he?
And yes, he did. And he ended up taking this job at XYT. At the time, it was mostly politics until 7 o'clock.
What?
Yep, and it was 7 to 11. And it was the story date was November 17th, 1991.
Talk about love for 4 hours.
I would
that sounds
love
awful.
To hear
on AM. That's the bad fit of the decade.
Well, he must have hated the way he sounded
on 1270. Well, probably that deep voice from Rumble.
Hello, this is Alan Allman. I'm talking about love.
John, have you ever? I'm sure you've seen him in person, right?
I'll tell you a funny story about it. When I had a retirement party. I had mentioned to him that I was having a retirement party. He said, I'd like to come to that. And I said, great. And I gave him the address and the name of the place. And I told my wife that Alan Allman's coming. She said she wanted to meet him, too. And I said, oh, wow, that's really great. I can't wait to meet him. So the day of the party, every male who came in that I didn't recognize, I was almost asking, are you Alan Allman? Are you Alan Allman? It turned, and she had, my wife, in the meantime, had arranged for a band to come in and play for the party. Yeah. So I ended up talking to pretty much of the bandsmen, thinking they were Alan Allman. And needless to say, Alan Allman stiffed me. He didn't show up.
Nobody knows what he looks like?
No. Well, no one ever knew.
He's a big guy.
Drew, come on.
He was a big man.
The theater of the mind.
I'm sorry.
Remember when they did that promo? We talked when he passed. We talked about it. We were watching that promo online, and I thought that was really him. Not a stand-in, because they had like a thin guy. They never showed his face. I'm like, he doesn't look that big. And I was like, duh, of course it's just an actor.
He was a large man, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. I heard that he was kind of, the word schlubby comes to mind.
Yeah.
That he was very ordinary, looked nothing like his voice, and often he was able to tell the women who would camp out around WNIC thinking to catch him, he would leave the station and was able to change his voice a little bit and say, I'm not Alan Allman, and walk away, because the women couldn't believe that he was Alan Allman.
And the women went, but why are you getting in that limo that drove you to work?
That's right. He did have a limo, didn't he? Yes. Is that true?
I think so. He had, I think, Henry Baskin, who represented a lot of movers and shakers around here, all the people at Channel 7, Kelly and Turner, I think he represented Dick Purton and several other people, actually represented Alan Allman. And he got, when Alan Allman, Henry got him a really good contract at the predecessor of CSX was Honey Radio, WHANE or something.
Yeah, Honey Radio.
It was at 94.7, and Alan took the Pillow Talk show from NIC over there, and he was on 94.7 for a while, and he was, I think, at the time, the highest paid person on that thing.
Well, that's weird, though, but at night, you wouldn't think people would pay somebody for that day part. There aren't that many people listening, period.
Mm-hmm. He was a product of the time. I think, especially on NIC, where you had, NIC was known for essentially having really good female listenership across the day with Harper and Harper and St. James, Harper and Elliot, not Harper and Elliot, it was Harper and Gannon, and then he brought in his Breakfast Club people. He had the morning, and they pretty much listened during the day, and then Alan Allman would be listening to the women at night who were having romantic problems, and he'd be there playing the song, and it would make them feel better, and it worked pretty well for WNIC for a better part of 15, 20 years.
Wow, I don't know. It almost makes me mad that worked for that long. I feel like it's a scam. But anyway, hey, John, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your taking us back to 1991.
Always a pleasure. It's nice to be on the podcast. I'm a couple more appearances, and I'll be there more than my clerk is.
You're getting close. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot.
We'll talk to you soon. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
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 Sminty.
Wow. Smitty's funny.
Yeah, no,
he really
Smitty's
is
great.
Funny. He's witty. He deserves to be back on some column somewhere, doesn't he?
Well, I don't think he wants. He's enjoying himself.
I know.
He likes it. I was kind of surprised, too. I thought I could see him doing a website.
Yeah.
Stand up with media like that. Robert Fetteri. I can't I look up stuff all the time. I always find him, and he always has a story.
Yeah. He's always on top of, like Sminty said, every change in that market.
Does he have advertisers on the website or something?
You know what? I don't know. He's got a cool picture of himself in glasses.
Oh, yeah. No, there's always the picture. Are we going to go on Facebook Live?
Yeah.
Are we really going to do this?
Again?
I know. It's crazy.
Can I go lose 60 pounds first?
We were going to dare to take some phone calls.
Hey, real quick, to answer your question about 910, it's crazy. I have the ratings. I can tell you where they finished.
Oh, yeah.
They registered in June, July, and August at a 0.1.
Oh.
Dead last.
Congratulations.
Right below the WMGC-FM stream, the web stream, and KQZ, the station out of Saginaw. Ah.
Oh!
So dead last in the market.
I'm sorry.
Is that the Cindy Gamrat Monica Conyer station?
Yes.
Oh.
I love listening to Cindy. I call in all the time. Hey, Cindy, what are you wearing tonight?
I tried to hang on.
Seriously, hanging out.
I tried to hang on.
Get out of here, Ben.
Call Monica Conyers, and Mark was recording it.
Really?
And,
they put Drew on hold.
They wouldn't put me on.
Oh, they knew. They must have known.
I don't think I said the right thing. I didn't say the terribly wrong thing. They just asked me what I wanted to talk about, and I said, I just wanted to welcome her to the airwaves. I didn't know what to say.
I think they blew you off for an interview, and I think that interview might have been with Judge, who's the Bashara judge?
Oh, you're right.
Vonda Evans.
They blew you off for an interview with Vonda Evans.
Vonda.
Oh, well, she's pretty exciting. She's always got something on her
Twitter. We live on Facebook?
Hey, Cindy, it's Todd again.
Should I give out the phone number?
I got my cock hanging out.
It's on there? Okay, call it. Let's go. Todd.
All over East Lansing.
Oh, he has it already.
Hello, this is Mark.
We have a listener call.
No, it's Todd Corser.
You're on with Todd Corser.
Hello?
Who's it? Who's this?
Hello? This is Jim. Who's this?
Jim, it's Drew and Trudy and Mark.
I got it. There's lottery around here.
You're in.
Hey, Big Jim. Big Jim. I know Big Jim.
I think it is the only way I can talk to Fellhauer.
I know. I knew that was coming up. I'm sorry.
Big Jim.
You look like a comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Who does?
Mark does with his little goatee.
Can I just tell you this? Can I just tell you a story? Julie's birthday just happened, so my present to her is I shaved off my beard.
Ooh. And it's November.
Because I'm unemployed, so I can't buy anything.
Well, it's so inexpensive, and that's so
frugal. I thought
it
was very thoughtful of me, because she hates the beard. But I like it.
Thoughtful and frugal.
So then, so I told her after I shaved off, first thing I says, I'm already growing it back. So that's why. Coming back.
You didn't do a very good job of shaving it off. Is Big Jim still there?
I know, but now you got call waiting.
Yeah, Big Jim, anything? We're going to move along. We'll try to get a few calls in, but anything else?
I owe you a phone call.
I just wanted to say thank you guys for 25 years of
Get out of here, you puss.
You're welcome, Jim. I'll be gracious. If Mark won't. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. See you, Big Jim.
He's a great guy. Oh, Jimmy.
How many live viewers, how many people are watching live, Joey?
142 right now.
Uh-oh.
42. Okay, we got to build that up.
145.
Yes!
150.
It's exciting. When I was doing the live Q&A, you know, I was watching that number go up. I had trouble paying attention to the questions because, like, wow, 410, 415, 418.
Too bad there wasn't a researcher who could put one of those bands on your penis so they could judge how engorged it was as the numbers went up.
I was getting excited. I was very excited about
that.
Hello. Hello.
They do that, Trudy.
What's going on, Drew?
Who's this?
Who's on the phone?
This is actually Phil Nickel.
Phil, is this somebody we know?
Well, not somebody we know, but I just called the number I saw.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Hey, Phil.
That's even better.
Yeah. Who's calling?
The way you said your name, though, it just sounded like you were somebody we should know. But anyway, what's your question? What do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say hi. I've been a fan for a long time, and I saw the number and just wanted to call in and talk to you guys. That's
hi,
it.
Phil.
Well, Phil,
what's going on?
Appreciate your listening. Anything back from the old days you wanted to ask about, or any exciting memories about the program that keep you going?
Well, yeah, actually, I worked for a medical supply place way back in the day, like 97, after I graduated, and used to listen to you guys every morning. It was just like, but to listen, because all the other bumpkins wanted country, because it was way back in the thumb of Michigan, but... Just want to let you know, you guys kept me going every morning, and the Drew and Mike show was a huge, huge part of my life. So
cool, man. Well, I'm glad you're still with the podcast.
Oh, hell yeah!
Someone else, awesome. We gotta go. Someone else is buzzing in.
Yeah,
fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
Phil Mickle.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun.
Bye bye.
Someone else buzzes in, you just blow off the person.
We know exactly when there's a new caller.
It's pretty
exciting.
Cool.
Oh, there's only one line.
Phil was very nice.
It's very nice.
Who's on the phone?
And somebody new's on the phone. Who's this?
Hey, it's Brian. How you doing?
Who's this?
Brian.
Brian, what's going on, Brian?
Not much. I've met you a couple times, actually, Drew. I'm sure you don't remember. You meet a lot of people.
Only one Brian, though. No, I know exactly who you are.
Do you have a last name?
Scalzi. I actually, I used to work for Airbnb.
You used to work for who?
Brian?
Did it knock Brian off?
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Who's on the phone?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, the response is so violent on the phone. It's just knocking people off
really
the
is.
One line.
I love that we gave
What's
no
like
thought
seconds?
To this.
Do we have a new caller?
Remember we used to do 10 seconds? You have to...
Yeah,
like,
Radio Graffiti.
Yeah.
Hello? Who's there?
Hello? This is Tom.
Tom, what's going on?
I love you. Oh, gotta go.
No, Tom, you're still there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, what do you want to say, Tom?
I just want to talk about some of the old stuff.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Let it rip.
Okay, I just love you guys, and you know, it's almost Thanksgiving. We got to have that turkey guy on again.
where's that turkey?
Oh, my God.
And I'm always talking about my buttholio a little bit all the time.
It's bots.
I was at the bar, Goldie's Bar, up in Macomb Township, and I was overhearing guys at the bar. They're all talking about their buttholios and stuff. It's just, you guys are still going, buddies.
And I will spank my
not like a bunch of dudes sitting around the bar talking around their buttholios a little bit.
Do we have that drop?
And I will, yeah.
And I will spank my but holy a little bit. It's the way she says holio and a little bits combined that's so cool about it.
And that you can actually hear her doing it.
It's fascinating. Well, hey, appreciate you listening, and thanks for calling in, man.
All right, man. You guys. Love you guys.
Thanks. Love you too.
Love you too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's cool. You can see who it is. On the TV. I want to watch that movie. Hey, where's our next caller?
Is this Brian?
Yellow.
Is this Brian?
I hear a phone ringing somewhere.
Is that your phone? Is that a different level?
Drew?
Yo, who's this?
It's Brian Scalzi again.
What? Brian?
Stop hogging the line!
I'm calling back, Drew, because I seem to be disconnected.
You didn't say goodbye. Taste some of your own medicine, Drew. No,
there's a disconnection issue.
Crazy.
No, we really were done talking to you. No, I'm kidding. That's what I would say if I were someone we were calling, they would say, oh, no, I was done talking to you. I hung up on you.
Well, there's a girl on the line. Pick up the girl.
But thanks for thanks for calling back, Brian.
No problem.
All right, man.
Over on we're not doing that again. Should I not?
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
I ran into you over at the Blockbuster on Orchard Lake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in that building.
I know you did. That's where I ran into you both times.
Yes, to take about six videos at a time, and I would watch maybe two of them and return the other four late.
Right, of course.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for listening again.
Yeah, no problem. And I just wanted to say, I wish you'd do more book reviews. I know you've probably been so busy lately, you haven't been able to read as much, but...
We'll get some out there. No, that's not easier done than said.
All right. Okay, and have you guys... Can I ask one more
Brian,
question?
You're the one more king, man. I would hate to be in the batting cage after you.
All right, well, we got lots of people calling in. Caller, what's your question?
That was funny. Thanks, Drew. But I just was curious... Are you guys ever going to try to get different people on the show, like maybe Dina Senofani or... It's got to be from Fox, too. I know you guys only have people on the show from Fox, too. So.
Actually, we're talking about getting Hank on.
Yeah.
Hank Winchester, who was just married, by the way.
Yeah, to him and Jeff, yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Hank and Jeff. Whoever thought we'd be talking about Hank and Jeff getting married, it would seem like no big deal, but that's the case. So, yeah.
And the last thing is 3 years.
No, beat it.
No, Hank, no, we're done with you. We're hanging up because we're done with you.
Ryan Geyer.
Oh, my God.
Thanks, Brian.
He tried to weasel in with a compliment for Trudy.
I thought
he could pull that off.
Appreciated that, though.
Of course. He knew you would.
Of course.
He had it planned.
That's how he's successful. Oh, Ashley? You should talk to her.
Is there a chick? Yeah. I don't know. Well,
say hello to them because they don't know that you know their name.
Thanks, Connor. What's your question?
Is this Ashley or is this Michael?
Hello?
Hey, listen, guys. Been listening for years and years and years. Really enjoying the podcast.
Who are you?
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
His name is Al.
Is
Pat.
Who is your daddy and Pat, what does he do?
What's your name?
Pat.
How are you?
Pat Giles?
No!
What's on your mind,
really
Pat?
Enjoying.
All right, later.
Hey, wait.
No, go ahead, Pat. Finish up.
Yeah, we got to hear Wampler's Farm. We got to hear the Bambulance story.
Oh, Bambulance.
Wow, Wampler's Farm. That's really impressive that people are remembering Wampler's Farm.
Oh, we played it every year.
I know.
And thanks for TC, man. That was great.
Oh, cool. You're welcome, man.
Yeah.
Can't wait to get it out there.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Let's do part one already. Wow.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
That turkey was nowhere to be found.
A pack of snuff.
Yeah, 2 tins of snuff, right?
Yeah. I know.
That's a joke, sir.
That is. I mean, we should almost explain that for those who haven't heard Wampler Farms. That's the infamous call where someone was in trouble for having sex with a turkey, which was a bet. He won two tins of snuff for having sex with a turkey. And we talked to the witness, who also got in a significant amount of trouble. And his father was listening on the extension, and he made a dick joke at the end of the thing. Yeah, did he make a dick joke?
Yeah, getting his dick caught in the peach slicer. And both you and Mike are like, what? And he goes, that's a joke, sir. Which is a pretty stupid joke.
Yeah, his kid is like about to go to jail for 10 years for, you know, witnessing someone having sex with a turkey and not doing anything about it. And his father's making a dick joke on the extension. I thought the father's going to go, you assholes, you've been making fun of my kid for 20 minutes. But no, he wants to jump in and make a joke.
The best part, though, is you're like, so where's that turkey? I don't want to get that turkey on Thanksgiving. The guy was thinking, where's that turkey? He kept asking, and the turkey was nowhere to be found. Why? Where did that turkey go? Where's the turkey?
Oh, boy.
Hello?
Somebody there?
Someone
on the line?
So she's on the phone.
She? Hello?
The turkey was nowhere to be found.
There's my man.
Nice going, Jay. Who's there?
It's supposed to be Ashley.
Ashley.
Who is on the phone? Who are you? All right, next.
Bye. Huh. Oh, bummer.
Joe, are you on Facebook Live? Did you show all their phone numbers as they pop up on Drew's TV? No, God, no.
Joe, how many people were watching, listening live? Watching live.
155. Hello?
155. You know, it's funny.
Hello?
Must be because we're a little later. Who's there?
Hey, it's Mike. What's up?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm calling to play Stump the Staff.
only if it's a Michigan question.
Mark, I'm glad you said Michigan. I'm the guy that ran into the club seats.
I absolutely. Ooh, yeah, no, I know. We took a lovely picture together. We made a very cute couple.
Did. Hey, I'll get you off here and let the other callers call, but keep rocking. Congratulations on 25 years.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Really good guy.
Bye-bye.
Here we go.
Yeah, I ran into him at the Michigan game.
Cool.
170.
Sure, that sounded disingenuous.
Oh.
I can't believe how hard it is to get people to...
It just sounds that way because...
Whatever.
You know, most people...
You're in the cult.
No matter, yeah, the cult. Mark is in the cult. He's a full-time member. Oh, somebody there?
Hello?
Hello? Who's this?
Dave.
Dave?
I really like your show. I just saw it on Facebook, so I thought I'd call. I'm not even listening.
Oh.
No, well,
wait,
yeah,
what?
I guess...
Really?
You can in the future.
You can listen live on Facebook if you're on Facebook. I mean, that's the only way you can listen
live. I'm not that cool. I'm like in a hotel room in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm not a cool person. I'm not listening on Facebook. Just wait for the podcast to drop tomorrow. Listen to it then.
Okay. You can still be cool without listening on Facebook. I just want you to know that.
Yeah, I'm possibly the least cool person you've ever talked to on the phone. Dave! I just thought I'd call because I just love the show and I appreciate it. And I donated and I just love the show.
Good man. Hey, appreciate. I'm glad you found us and thanks for staying with us.
You're super Dave! Cool.
Thanks so much, Drew.
Okay, man. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
It's just a big love fest
Dave!
Here.
Dave!
That reminded me, you know, when he said maybe the least cool person, somebody emailed in maybe the least cool person to ever listen to the show. Remember the guy that used to listen for 15 minutes a week just to see if he still hated the show?
Yeah. Yeah, and let us know. Which is kind of funny in a way.
Well, it was incredible. It's like, who would say that? Who would spend 15 minutes a week on something to make sure he still doesn't like it? Wouldn't you think after a couple weeks he'd be pretty sure of himself?
Well, you'd hope he'd change. Oh, to that point, there was, because Joe's been posting things on Facebook for the 25 years, and I was reading one, and one's like, you guys should be on porno, not the radios.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that lady's post?
It's all good. Everybody's happy. Everybody's talking. I donated. I love the show. I'm so happy. I want to donate more. And this lady comes in.
This should be porno. It's horrible. I love it. It was so funny.
Why would she post? Why would she just go away?
People are weird. I don't know. People like to bitch.
I thought maybe she meant we were hot.
No. She was not happy.
Not. I just wondered what you should be on porno meant.
Porno.
On porno.
I
asked her if anybody was hiring.
Great.
How many are we up to, Jay? Joe?
We're at 180 now. 180.
Oh, we're pushing 200 people. Oh, my God.
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Okay, keep the camera on Trudy.
Staying on Trudy.
Hello?
Hello.
Who are you?
My name is Dave. I'm from Traverse City.
Dave from Traverse City. Oh, my God. You listen to the podcast in Traverse City?
Oh, heck yeah, all the time.
Good man. Now, did you listen? Yeah. Were you in Detroit when we were having our run in the 1990s and the 2000s?
Yes, I moved up north in 06, so I listened to you guys for years.
Dave?
Now, did you retire up there or did you just move up there? And how do you like it?
No, I just moved up here. It's a great 10 months out of the year.
It's how many months a year?
10.
10 months a year. Wait,
so
yes,
those 2 months of snow really get you with the deep snow.
God, I thought it was more than two. Go ahead, Trudy. He wants to talk to you.
How are you?
I'm
good. But hey, Drew, I just have to let you know I got to go. All right.
We already had to go. Okay. No, we really did. Way before you, I was thinking about it. That's why I said to Trudy to wrap it up. She had the signal. She
almost
knew.
The 200.
Oh. Ooh, the 200 mark.
Right.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Is there a caller?
Hello.
Hello.
People calling and hanging up.
Yellow.
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's Steve.
Cool, Steve. What's going on, man?
Lag.
Quite a while ago, you revealed that someone took a dump on a plane, and you couldn't reveal who it was. I was just wondering if you could do that now that you're on a podcast.
Someone took a dump on a plane.
Yeah, it was a celebrity, and you guys kept teasing it, saying you really couldn't reveal who it was.
God, I was thinking the first thing when you said that, I thought it was Ferdy Pacheco. Yeah, who destroyed a bathroom in a plane. He literally said it was like a spraying the walls with diarrhea because his body exploded. He told us that it was on the air.
He was one of the best interviews ever.
He was hilarious.
Pacheco, what did he do? I think
the fight doctor.
Yeah, it was a fight.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Corner man.
He
had a cookbook. Yeah,
he signed a picture for me.
Oh,
it
meant a lot to you.
By tens, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, he brought in pictures. He was totally cool.
He had headshots.
I'm just trying to remember if it was somebody else. Like, we had a story about someone else.
Yeah, someone on a plane or someone liked to do it on coffee tables or something like that.
Danny Thomas?
Yeah. For a while, I thought you couldn't reveal the name because you were afraid of getting in trouble or...
Well, I mean, the rumor, and it's totally alleged. I have no way of proving this because I don't think anyone kept records. But Marlo Thomas's father, Danny Thomas, there's just a ridiculous rumor that he liked people taking dumps and he liked to lie beneath glass tables
so he could see it.
Yeah. But Danny Thomas, I mean,
he raised
it up and he's grossed out.
He's the guy that raised like hundreds of millions of dollars for St. Jude's Hospital. That's what he's best known for. And he's got this glass table thing, apparently.
Some of my favorite memories were when you guys used to stump the staff with HOCO, just berating the callers and the doghouse stuff they used to do for like Valentine's Day.
Well, you know, if we get on Facebook Live, which eventually could happen, if we could do it a little early, maybe just a little earlier, maybe we could do that. That'd be fun. I mean, that's one thing. I stumped the staff is one of the biggest losses to not having call-ins, for sure.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you.
How many total rules did we get up to on Stump the Staff?
170-something, I think.
I think it might have been more than that. Oh, we have them somewhere?
Oh, cool. You know, when Sminty was talking about the radio competition, for some reason it reminded me, somebody had emailed in about Ted Nugent when Ted Nugent was on 102.7.
The Bear.
The Bear. And I remember when Ted filled in, maybe you remember this, Trudy, in 92 and 93, came in for a week.
Oh, yeah.
When he was taking pictures in behind the board.
Yeah.
And it was like, why is he taking pictures? And it was when things were going shitty. Yeah. And I was thinking, is this something? Is there promo pictures for the new morning show riff? Or what is it?
Oh,
I
mean, really?
Yeah, it was weird. It was bizarre. It was like, why would he do that? It was a little bodacious on his part, mostly.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was like seemed to me maybe his own photographer in there. I don't know. It was really strange.
Right.
But, of course, he always, you know, when he came in, he always said, turn up. All the other radio stations can just turn off their transmitter because Uncle Ted's on. And he was doing some great radio. Although once he got into hunting, he lost me. It was kind of hard because I wasn't a hunter. And by the second time he went through the seasons, my lids would get a little heavy.
Yes.
He'd keep him on rock and roll. He could keep me 110% of the time because I love when he talked about anything like that.
Yeah.
First day of gun hunting today, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But he went through, I think, day one, and he was demanding creamer, and no one had brought his creamer, apparently.
Oh, my God.
He was a star.
Remember, yeah. There was
truly a star.
That, yeah. And Shemaine would always come. She always looked hot.
Shemaine was sweet. I like Shemaine.
Right.
I heard a lot of stories about when Ted came in before, years before he was on Riff, I think he used to do it on Wheels, and he would literally get new tires for his car. And,
right.
Yeah, and he'd plug them when they brought him over.
Well,
and,
that's where he got Shemaine, too.
Oh, yeah, WLZ, that's right. She was a traffic reporter.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, no, Ted is one in a million. I mean, he is a true Michigander. Yeah. And I hated that he was on The Bear, but, you know, it was a bad signal. And we had been on so long at that point, and Ted was so much was about hunting,
right?
That I just didn't think, you know, I don't want to say and I was right, because we did have our one battle on the air that one day when he was claiming Riff was ripping him off.
Mm. Oh, right.
Because we wouldn't advertise the Whiplash Bash, and it started with that, but then it went a little further, and it got to the point where we actually ended up because he said we didn't have the balls to call him, and so it was like, okay, I guess we have to do this. But we knew enough about, we knew how he'd been paid a lot of money to mm-hmm. do Riff. And, you know, we also knew that if we had a New Year's Eve event, they would not run commercials for us on their station.
No,
nobody
no,
would.
Hell no. Oh,
it had nothing to do with trying to screw him. It was just, he was a competitor.
Now, didn't he wanted you guys to call him while you were on air, right?
Yes.
But you waited until commercial
called during the commercials, yes.
It's just so smart, though. Course,
yeah, and I think his volume might have been a little
oh yeah, but I can imagine
the break ended, though, and we did end up live on the air, and I wasn't actually unhappy with it, because I thought there was so much disinformation being spread. I thought it was almost crazy. We talked to Danny off the air, on the air, Danny Bonaducci, when he came to town.
Oh, that's right, I remember that.
Yeah, he was just trying to get attention. That's all he was doing.
Was he on?
He wanted to be on our air because we were doing well, and, you know, he wanted to have a boxing match. He was he'd been boxing for 20 years or something. Yeah,
want,
right. I'm gonna box the guy.
Is that what it's gonna come
Clark,
to?
Gonna,
I think he wanted to fight. I think he may have said me. I don't, and I'm not sure why or
really?
What he knew, but
he called you to challenge you to a boxing match.
How old is he? Jeez,
I know. No, it was ridiculous. It was totally absurd. Where is Danny now? He's still on radio, isn't he?
He does voiceover tracks for. He remember the like crazy cop confrontations and stuff like that shows.
Oh.
He would do voiceover for that, because I remember going, "Who is this person who sounds like he's squeezing every word out?" And it's. That was Danny Bonaducci.
He's not the guy I would think of for a voiceover.
No. No,
when you said
not.
Crazy cops, I thought you were talking about in Phoenix when he...
Cops
the trans,
do something.
The transvestite.
Oh.
Thought he was getting a girl and it was a guy. And
oh,
he
right.
beat the living Yikes. Bejesus. He can fight, apparently. And he went home and he hid in the closet nude under a pile of clothes.
How ironic.
And they went and searched the house, and they found him nude under a pile of clothes in the
in
closet.
In the closet.
Yeah.
Do you think he took the clothes off to hide underneath them? Or do you think he was nude and there just happened to be a pile of clothes?
I don't know. I was really
just assuming, oh, there's nothing to hide under here. I'll just take my clothes off and pile
think,
them on top
I
of
I think
me.
His clothes were bloody.
Oh, okay.
So I think he was getting ready to take a shower and get rid of the clothes or something. He knew they were on the way. And... The funny thing was him trying to say he was
some of the clothes on, the other clothes on in the pile.
I think the cops came in. I think they came in pretty fast.
Nice hiding.
But
really,
the funny thing was that he tried to deny it. After they found him nude under a pile of clothes, he tried to say he didn't do anything. He didn't know what they were talking about.
Well, why else would he be hiding nude under a pile of clothes? That's too obvious.
Yeah. Well, he pleaded guilty eventually.
Oops.
Who's on the phone?
Who's on the phone?
Well, let's see who's on the phone. Yellow. Hey there.
Hello.
Yo.
What's popping
with you, man?
Did I win?
Yeah.
Yeah, you won. The right to talk to us.
It's going
to
cost me in taxes.
it's not going to cost you in taxes. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Is this Mike Macheski?
All the big winners say that.
Is that the Mike Macheski rule?
Yes.
Yeah. Am I the first international caller?
Where are you calling from, Canada?
Yeah, I'm in Toronto.
Oh, cool.
I believe so. Are you a former Detroiter?
Former South Detroiter, Windsor, yes.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of people who have left town who have found the podcast, and it blows my mind. I mean, I know it's not really that unusual, but it's just more than I thought.
You guys are the best thing to my ears. I do 10 hours a shift a day working on the line in Oakville, and I thank you so much, Drew, Mark, Trudy, Jay, thank you.
Cool.
That's really cool.
Man.
What are you doing on the line there?
Assembly. I make that. Making dashboards. I'm at one of the. I don't know. Whatever. One of. Yeah. One of the Detroit three, actually, in Oakville.
Cool. Huh. You got great, great benefits and all that. I bet.
CAW.
Yeah, it's okay. It's better than what I was doing in Windsor. So.
Yeah.
That's the and I get to listen to you guys. So.
CAW, the Canadian Auto Workers.
Yeah. CAW. Auto. Are you a CAW member?
It's called Unifor now. It used to be CAW. Yeah, same thing.
Uh-huh. Cool. Well, hey man, good luck. Thanks for listening and enjoy yourself up there.
Hey, thank you. Stiff.
You keep it stiff. You keep it stiff.
Later. Bye-bye.
See you, man.
Hey, Bonaducci is still in morning radio.
Is he really? Philadelphia.
You'll recognize these call letters, KZOK in Seattle.
That's where Zip was going to go with Bob.
That's where Bob was for a long time. Yeah.
Oh, KZOK.
And then he jumped to...
is that Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Zip yesterday said he thought the Sacramento job was at KZOK, but he was confused with Bob's last job.
Yeah. Well, his second to last job, his main job in Seattle.
He was going to KZAP, which was the nationwide station.
KZAP,
which I worked for briefly because Pat Still migrated there.
After he lost the Riff job.
Yeah.
That's right. Was Pat Still good to work with?
Yeah, he was a funny guy.
That's what I thought.
Oh, not playing the commercials thing wasn't cool, but...
Oh, I know.
I understood where his head was. I think he was in San Jose last time I heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what about Pat and Wags? Because they were...
Wags went back to Columbus to LVQ.
Is he still there?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing a morning show anymore, but... And John Fisher was there. Remember John Fisher?
John Fisher.
Did a show in Chicago for a while.
I don't think I know that name.
And he married the chick who was married to Tommy Shaw for.
Oh, really?
There was some arrangement like that. I think.
She must be hot.
Yeah, she was hot. She was a newscaster in Chicago. So.
Oh, really? Tommy Shaw married a newscaster?
I think so. Yeah, there was like some intertwining of the.
I have to look this all up.
Right.
I was just reading about that lawsuit in Chicago where Joan Esposito.
That was her.
That was her?
I think so. She was married to, Joan was.
Well, she sued Eddie and Jobo because they claimed that her child,
She was pregnant. Nobody knew who the father was.
Was Jonas.
There was a rumor that it was Scotty, that the child was black and it was Scotty Pippen's kid. Yeah. And she sued them and won $1 million.
Oh, well, I don't
settled,
know.
Yeah.
I
mean,
yeah. It was.
Amber alert.
Oh, my God. There's
Amber alert.
Amber.
Serious?
Whoa.
Amber.
What's the chance of that?
Trudy, everybody else has their Amber alerts off. And Trudy just turned it off. She said, I don't care who this kid is. You're going to see him on your ride home?
Probably.
Or her? What's the Amber alert?
Let me see.
Is there one more caller, Jay?
That's how I record people when they call me.
Well, you can do that. Cool.
The phones are a-buzzing. How many people are listening and watching?
169.
Whoa.
169.
Wait, we lost some then.
Who's on the phone?
Apparently nobody could care less about this Amber alert.
Sarah?
No. Sarah, are you there?
Sarah.
Bye-bye.
That song sucks.
That's
anybody there?
There's two Sarah songs. There's one by Fleetwood Mac and there's one by Jefferson Starship, correct?
Oh, yeah, Starship.
Stevie Nicks, I know. Stevie Nicks sings a Sarah song, right?
Now, why is she singing about Sarah? What's up with that?
That's Sarah Smile. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Who's there?
Hello, is this Drew?
Yes, it is.
I've been trying to get on the phone for the past 45 minutes.
And who is this?
This is Michael.
Jackson.
I just wanted to ask you guys, what time is it?
Oh,
because I'm hurting very badly.
It's like, I thought it was Mike Babone.
Hurting very badly.
No doubt.
45 minutes.
Let me guess, you have problems with your shoulder?
My shoulder.
Hello, yes, my shoulder is hurting very.
No, you can't
he
do Michael Jackson
it.
Without saying
I'm in pain
shoulder.
All the time.
I'm going to spread doo-doo feces around wherever this guy is.
There's no L in shoulder.
My shoulder.
Love you.
Hello?
Are you still there?
Okay.
Michael?
Bye-bye.
Micah?
A horrible impersonation wraps up the live segment.
All right, see you, everybody.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
How long were we on Facebook?
Bye.
That was
going
well. Bye.
Almost 200 still.
Oh, we gotta make it to 200.
Oh, the turkey call? No way.
There's a turkey.
That takes 17 minutes and 54 seconds?
We should just post it.
I thought it was longer than that.
Wow.
Hi, I'm sorry, Bobby. This is Drew and Mike calling on WRIF Radio. Is this the plant where the guy tried
foods,
to have
right?
sex with the turkey?
Yes, it is.
Oh. We want to see if we get a little information about that.
Why is the music so loud?
Yeah, who mixed this?
Did we put this music on there?
Probably me on a best of.
You know what happened to turkey?
I don't know.
Did you get any counseling or?
I have no idea. The person you speak to is not here right now.
Distracted.
You can't hear the audio.
No.
The whole incident with the turkey and stuff.
Wait.
Yes.
What
so
happened?
Are we? But he's innocent.
Oh, he is.
Oh, he is.
Well, that's great. Well, he needs to get the word out then. No question about it.
Yeah.
Who's that? You? No.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Thanksgiving will be a little uncomfortable this year.
That's Mike.
Yeah.
Well, they went through everything we can go through.
I'll bet.
The other guy just did it on his own.
I don't want to say anything.
Yeah. Okay. The other guy maybe just tied it up or something.
Well, is David there? We just wanted to ask him a couple of questions.
He's outside, but you'll have to wait till I can go get him.
Okay. Yeah, we'll wait a couple of minutes.
Frightened.
Just wanted to for him to tell whatever of his story.
I just remembered another name from this.
Get his side.
Bill Eichelberger. Remember that name?
Bill Eichelberger is a troublemaker, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Where's
that dirt?
Thrust it away.
We'll never get through this. It's 17 minutes long.
No.
Joe was just writing down questions people were writing up on Facebook.
Remember we did the live before we started the podcast today, so we asked for questions.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he wrote them down.
I love, what is your favorite 7-Eleven? I have to say the Ferndale one on 9 Mile.
Like picking between your children, though. Yeah.
It's always the current 7-Eleven, whatever that is.
Whatever the current one is.
We have some good picks.
Current one I'm in love with. How many times in trouble with FCC? I'm not sure what the answer is to that, because there were a few good rounds.
There was one big one, thanks to Evan Longoria.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But there was another big one, too. The first one was a pretty big one. What happened was...
blank. Was this pre-me?
No, there's no pre-you.
I know. The world began with me.
It did.
Well, we had complaints.
Oh.
We always had complaints.
I thought you meant actual actions where we had
no
meetings.
We were never fined.
No, we were never fined, but the second step is for them to do the inquiry.
Yeah, there were some... They fought a few complaints.
Are you talking about post-Janet Jackson when people were gathering all the tapes and sending in the complaints?
There's
never an inquiry coming out of that one, though.
No, but I'm trying to remember what. Well, we had the lawsuit with Ted Nugent. That was an FCC.
Oof.
Ted made some unfortunate comments about someone. And because we were in the room, we got dragged into it. And the funny thing was, I don't think Ted ever really lifted a finger. But we all got deposed like crazy.
I know.
How long were you in that room? Do you remember, Trudy, how long you were deposed
an
for?
An eternity.
Yeah, I think I was deposed for about 3 hours, and I mean, people were yelling at me.
Really?
Because I wasn't saying what they wanted to hear.
Yeah, and I was torn in half because I'm like, okay, so what do we say here? You just don't know.
It's parody. It's all parody.
It was a bit. I wanted an apple in the worst way.
The thing is,
claim.
I want to be deposed with an apple.
I don't know how you're supposed to get in the head of Ted Nugent. When he's the one that said it,
you're
just in the room. We end up getting stuck with the lawsuit because we were there. But
anyway,
FCC. There were just a couple times.
Yeah, nothing.
But we knew that people were sending in complaints because there was a PO box, I think, in Troy, and that lady was just basically sending in complaint after complaint after complaint, and eventually they responded to it. And then also we knew that the family. What's Dr. Wildman's organization? American Family Association, was putting up pieces of our show. You could go on his website. He had other radio shows on there. You could just click on it. You could listen to our clip. And then
really?
If you were offended enough, you could click on it, and they'd send a complaint for you.
Oh, could I still click on it just to listen to old shows?
That's a great idea. I don't know. We'll look into that.
I guess you need to make a tape or, get some old bits.
Yeah, make an air check.
Yeah.
Has Thomas Fiorini... congratulated you yet? No, he is not.
Certainly would never congratulate him.
Although the first person that commented on Tony Paul's story said that... Wait.
All you guys would do is talk about white boy Rick.
We talk about white boy Rick
all
the time.
Oh, that's funny.
And then he said, just kidding, I think, in parentheses. But yeah, Thomas Fiorini is the infamous guy who any story I'm ever connected with, he comments that that we spend too much time talking about White Boy Rick and some, what is his other smart ass remark?
That was the big one. But
that's the main one.
Any story about 105.1.
Yeah, right. I don't even have to mention the story, and he'll jump in and bitch about it.
Let's see, yeah. That's the only comment so far.
Did he bitch about DT? Because he does a lot of White Boy Rick stories.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No bitching about DT.
Nope.
Well, DT's got another good story tonight, too. He's teasing. Of course, by the time people hear this, it'll be old. So, sorry, it opened my mouth again.
Somebody want to know Blue Four Tires on Vacation story.
Oh. Yeah.
That's when I went in. You know when they have the spikes? And,
right.
And we were coming back from the casino. It was like 5 in the morning. And I drove in opposite the spikes. Had no idea. Apparently it was pretty oblivious. And somebody in the passenger seat was a passenger. Mm. A sleeping passenger. And the next day... woke up late because it was in bed at 5:30. Got home at 5 from the casino, and I'm walking back from lunch, and I notice, oh wow, we got a flat tire. And I'm like, oh wow, we got two. And as I was saying, we have two flat tires. I realized I drove over the fucking spike. My brain was going, you drove over the fucking spike, you idiot. Because I saw the second flat tire, and I knew all four tires were flat. I was like, fuck. And I bought insurance. The one thing I was told always, never buy insurance on a rental car. I had bought insurance.
Oh,
it was incredible. Because I remember calling the rental car place and going, I got four flat tires. You're not going to believe this. And they go, what? Four flat tires? How you do? I said, oh, you know those spikes? And they're like, yeah. And they were laughing. And they're like, you buy insurance? And I said, yeah, actually I did. And they're like, we'll be right out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wow.
And they came out and they had four tires with them. They were like with a truck with four tires. And these guys got out and they're really excited because they knew there was a tip involved. Or they thought there was a tip involved. There was a tip involved because I was so excited to see them.
Wow. A pit crew.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's see. Well, how big is an FCC fine? $325,000. Mm. When did you realize the stump the staff rules were impossible? They're not impossible.
People win all the time.
Absolutely. People win way too often.
Mm-hmm. If anything, we're too lenient. We need a law and order president to enforce our stump the staff rules.
Why did you leave 105.1? Because they wanted it to be an all sports show. Yeah. And I really didn't even want to do a half sports show, to be honest. But
you didn't want to deprive anybody of all this.
No, exactly. We couldn't do any of this stuff.
Those are some good teachable moments. Some of those meetings that even I went through.
Yeah.
My favorite was, why doesn't Drew want to do this? And I said, because he doesn't want to do it.
I never wanted to do it. I didn't want to do sports in the first place.
Why won't you just try it? Because he doesn't want to do it.
No, because...
fully support it. I don't want him to do it either.
Well, to have a third host in the show that was knew nothing about the show...
It's ridiculous.
All the history of the show goes...
Yeah.
Or whenever any history of the show comes up, he's lost. And they wanted him to be a big part of the show, so it was going to be, you know, it was going to be a brand new show, basically.
And to be undermined by people that were working on the station too really pisses me off.
Yeah, that was sad. That was pathetic, and it was not in anybody's. It had nothing to do with doing the right thing or trying to help or. It was just about being weasels in a lot of that was, because we had the best ratings on the station by far.
And revenue generating show.
Yeah, we were fourth in afternoon drive, and we were going up against a show that was doing very well. It was very hard to break in against. And the other day parts were doing 17th place and 13th mm-hmm. place. Mike and Mike were, I don't know what they were. They were like a one share. It was a pathetic, horrible syndicated morning show.
Yep.
I mean, does nothing, I don't think.
No.
Mark, when did you get to WRIF?
January 2nd, 97.
January 2nd, that's when your internship started?
Yeah. So I have my 20-year coming up.
That's right. You do.
20 years.
Yeah. And Trudy, when is your 25-year? What date? Do you know?
I think it's in January. Because, you know, remember
you don't have a handle on this at all, Trudy.
I know. My anniversary of my interview, though, that's the one that stands out. Because it was Freddie Mercury's death day.
So it's November
24.
I'm trying to figure out. You interviewed on November 20-something.
Yep.
And then you started in January?
In January, because you guys went to Jamaica.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But that's still 5 weeks away. What can you start in? Oh, the holidays.
I don't remember.
You had to go home and talk it over with family and friends.
Yeah.
For a month?
And I had to pile stuff up and move it.
Had to negotiate.
Yeah. Oh, the holidays.
I was in Boston.
Two sets of holidays. I get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I missed much of the show, but I do remember the fartiste or the flute, the guy that played with the flute with his butt was one of the first moments where I was like,
what did
this
I get
is way different than anything I've ever done. Yeah,
Lepetamine. Yeah. Yeah. But that would lead to Mr. Methane. The real thing would show up just years later.
I know. It was so, it was great. It was so great.
How is Professor Zodacat? Professor Zodacat?
Yeah, how is he? I'm sorry, I was pointing at the I was distracted by the...
Because Michigan's number three in the
college football playoff rankings.
Who
is Professor Zodacat?
That was that a cat?
Yeah, it was an actual cat.
That was giving interviews.
Wrote the book. Yeah,
yeah, and so we called to interview the cat, and the woman was translating for the cat.
Yeah,
and we made great fun of her. We destroyed the fourth wall on that one, and I think she was laughing by the end of it. Actually, at first she was trying to be very defensive.
So it was doing zodiacs like horoscopes for people.
Zodacat. It was a cat. And she'd written a book for Professor Zodacat, who was teaching all these important lessons. And it was apparently a real cat. But
it's amazing. That'd be a huge hit nowadays.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it probably was.
I wonder if Zodacat is on Amazon. You think that book is on
I think,
Amazon?
Yeah, I bet you it is.
Is it Professor Zodacat, like the Zodiac?
Z-O-D-I-C-A-T. Yeah, I think it's Zodacat.
That's how I spelled it.
Let's see. Why did donut shop terrorism stop? Because, you know what, we had done it so many times in every town. It was like we were calling donut shops that had already been donut shop terrorized.
Yeah.
It was getting so ridiculous. I mean, after you do it for 5 or 6 years, and you run into the same donut shops in Green Bay, and they go, "We know who you are."
Plus, it was a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
I mean, the payoff was phenomenal, but it was just a lot of work.
What was Belfour Blows?
That was
Ed Belfour.
Yeah, the goalie for the Flyers. And that was a little danceable, that lady. She thought Belfour was danceable.
He wasn't with the Flyers, was he? He was with the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks. Yeah, duh. That's right.
The Flyers year, that was
Hexie
versus Snowy.
Hexie and Snowy.
Garth Snow and Rod
Hexie versus Snowy.
There's the Dr. Zodacat book.
Oh, wow.
Zodacat Speaks.
How much is it?
It only has one review, and it's 5 stars. 1 cent. You want me to buy it? Can I see your credit card? One cent Canadian.
Wow.
Did anyone ever get laid at the WRIF building? Someone wants to know.
Do you count someone beaten off in the bathroom?
No.
Why?
You know that story, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know that story?
No, I didn't know that story. But
one member of the show beat off in the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
I just had it was just so an emergency or?
I think it was more out of boredom.
Oh. Okay. How did
Drew?
Anybody know
yes,
about that?
I think so.
Because he
I
told
suspect.
People.
Oh, okay.
He bragged about it.
Here, I'll write down. There, it was more situational than anything.
Who invented gay per view? I guess I invented it.
You did, yeah.
You know, somebody actually streamed them all together online. I wonder if that'd be a fun way to wrap up the show if it's there.
The YouTube.
See, they had like 7 or 8 of them in a row, and there I listened to them, and I swear to God, there's the first 4 or 5 of them are just stellar. I mean, the drops
Madden and
are
Summerall
incredible.
Versus when it was Madden and or when it was Michaels and Collinsworth.
That's 4 of them right there.
You didn't know that?
No.
It seems about right, though, right?
The lock didn't work on that bathroom, so I just wondered if I just walked
There's no more than 4 of them, is there?
Well, no one was there that day.
Yeah. Just four, is 4 the most?
I think there's 4. Yeah.
Yeah. Crank it.
Oh, that's cool.
What guys, it's new on the Gay Channel.
What is up?
From his waist up, he is a load. He puts one of those ham bones on you, man, and you're going down.
Monday Night Gay Preview.
Oh, these are the second round.
Becomes a hot young
Michaels
guy.
Instead of Summerall?
No, he's a heck of a guy.
No fear. Even on the actions on Monday, it's still as gay as ever.
The plane came that time. You don't know where that fourth guy is coming.
Plus, veteran Al Michaels joins the booth.
How are you doing? Are you getting more comfortable?
Yeah, I'm comfortable as heck.
Me too.
The lineup may be different, but the action's still the same. Gay, gay, homo, homo, gay, gay.
That's helmet to helmet, chest to chest. That knocked a whole lot of stuff loose.
We still have the beefiest guys doing the gayest stuff.
But they're not big old fat guys. I mean, they're like the guys, they look like the guys that used to weigh 260. Just kind of puts his head into Bennett and goes right down.
Along with the youngest high endurance twinks.
Barbara gets in and out of that hole so quickly that it was just a blur as he went through there. I tell you, there's something about, you know, being at a high school, and it feels pretty good, you know what I mean?
Gay Preview's fun for everyone, including the old-timers. John still features the classic butt sex.
He's going to come from this backside, and you see him right there, and he has him. You know, that's the look you have before you know it's on you, that look there.
Right.
With the mouth is kind of open.
And the kids always enjoy the premature bloopers.
Oops, it was a little early.
Yeah.
That was one of those timing deals that didn't work out.
There's even special homo instruction from the coach himself.
He does better when he's mad. I'd like to make him mad right now. Instead of going like this on all the other guys' pistons, he was going like this. Oh. That's not a move. You don't do that. So I had him, I swear, this is no kid. I had him on Saturday morning working on a move to get your hands up and show some emotion.
Just dial 1-800-HEY-CUTIE for Gay Preview.
He is a low.
Me too.
It is so gay. Hey, guys, it's new on the Gay Channel.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
who recorded this?
There. Oh, geez, that was a terrible
what do you mean?
Oh, he's a little funky.
I know. Well, it's over the air. Over the air.
Yeah.
Monday night Gay Preview.
So he's getting up, and then he's going to ride him. You see him? He's square on him. What happens is Roy again is going to come on him, and he's going to see it this time and get rid of it quickly.
Hey, orgy competitions are always intense, but these homos really pump it up a notch on Monday nights because they know the entire Packer populace is watching.
The only thing, it went right through his hands and hit him in the face. He better get something stuck up in there.
You know, the action's getting really hot when your host, the M&M boys, get into the act.
Well, there's a two-man booth, and then there's a three-man booth, and then there's a five-man booth.
Looks like it's going to overheat. Even the coaches are going homo.
Just looks like a guy that is very, very anxious to please Bill Parcells.
Order today if you want to see the beefiest guys doing the gayest stuff, like DP.
John, that's the two-headed monster they have going right now.
I think Tatum Bell has a little more of Clinton Portison than he does either Mike Anderson or Ron Dane.
Man, is this gay or what?
He has a lot of hair.
Yes, he does.
Just dial 1-800-HEY-CUTIE today for Monday Night Gay Preview.
You know, we always talked about how chiseled he is, and you know, very few guys. I mean, he looks like an Adonis, and he loves to show it off, too.
It is so gay!
All right, we wrap it up after a couple of those. I wish the quality were a little better. And obviously, they're not as... That's about, what, 15 years ago?
Are those ones that old?
Probably at least 10 years.
Yeah, they're older.
Yeah, it's maybe not as little loose on the...
Was there backlash?
I'm not sure. No. No, actually, not really.
None?
No.
Wow.
I'm just not sure there would be now.
It's Trump's America.
They're a little loose. So, you know, from that standpoint, you have to remember there was, things were a little different 15 years ago.
Some of those didn't need any editing at all. It was almost like.
I know. Can you believe those were not edited. They weren't edited. Those were comments John Madden made during Monday Night Football. It's amazing. That's why the whole concept came up, because I was like listening to the game going, this doesn't sound like a football game.
There's still, you know, there's a service out there that still pulls sexual innuendos. And the one that Gruden used last Monday was, he's plastering his guy. Plastering. He kept saying plastering, which even as a football term, I know that was really a term, but. Well, taken out of context.
I want to thank Mark Patrick for coming on tonight, and Sminty. And thanks to everybody for, and we're working on Mickey Redmond too, maybe this week. I don't know. And just all the nice donations. We're still taking donations, of course. The button's there. If you don't see it on your phone, hit the view full site. People have been pretty generous. I hope we continue to get some more. I think we will. I think we're doing really well here, actually. I'm really encouraged.
What's Mark's first paycheck?
Mark's first paycheck?
What?
It could be any day now.
Oh, my God. What's a paycheck?
As soon as the checks get here, actually.
I want to donate mine to him.
I'm having a delay getting my checks. What else can be fucked up in this whole chain? It's like everything takes... Well, anyway, you don't want to hear this.
And everyone has to take their cut along the way, right? I'm sure. PayPal takes a cut.
Yeah, that's it. Just PayPal. So anyway, thanks to everybody for what you've done and for listening and well, for 25 years listening, really. I mean, there's it's been amazing.
So much excitement on all social media all week long about this.
Well, yeah, we're not going to quit either. We'll keep going. I mean, it's kind of a weekly celebration, a full week celebration. Yeah.
But the 25, you know, there were so many well-wishers and people excited about it. So.
Yeah, I was blown away by I was on Facebook a lot yesterday, and just Facebook and Twitter, but it was great. It was a lot of people, and yeah. Really appreciate it. And I'm glad. I hope people liked Zip. I thought Zip was great.
Yes, it was
excellent.
Great. And yeah, I'm looking forward to reading people's comments about that. And what's that, Jay?
More donations?
Yeah. Oh, $500 donation? Jeez.
What, now?
Ed Grabo gives a $500 donation.
Oh, Eddie, yeah. That's a great guy.
I was kind of jealous because I thought you wanted to hook up with Zip again.
From robotic tech?
Me too.
Really?
What's robotic tech? That's not a person.
Wow.
It's robots.
Somebody's robots are giving us money?
Yeah, because they know how much I love Officer Robot and Umpire Robot. I want Umpire Robot to start working in the major leagues.
That's incredible. And Ed Grabo came through with $500. He said he's going to give more, and I'm like, Ed, relax. $500 is fantastic, buddy.
We're huge in the robot demographic.
Well, anyway, thanks.
From ages 1.0 to 6.0.
Is that robot age 1.0 to 6.0?
Well, you know, versions like 2.0.
Of course.
It's a lame joke.
My Roomba loves this show.
Should have stopped ahead. Your Roomba. It's always dancing around.
It loves it.
And thanks, you guys, for coming in. Trudy, I know you got a full-time job. You're going to come allegedly twice this week. I think you're crazy, but that's good.
I'm into it. I love it.
Cool. Okay, we'll see you Thursday then. Mark, I guess we'll see you
tomorrow. I got nothing going on.
Jay, we'll see you. I'll see you for another half the evening, I guess. Sorry, man. This thing went late tonight. Have a good one, everybody. See ya!